Okay, sounds great. This is the, let's go on the record. This is the matters of Three Angels Broadcasting Network, Inc., an Illinois nonprofit corporation, and Danny Lee Shelton, individually plaintiffs, versus Galen Arthur Joy and Robert Pickle, defendants. This is in reference to court file number 08-MC-7. We have some people here in the courtroom. May have you folks identify yourselves, please, for the record.
Yes, Your Honor. I'm Jerry Keyes with People's Group, Duffy, and Foster.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to each of you. Can I have the folks on the telephone identify themselves, please?
I am Galen Arthur Joy, defendant. Robert Pickle, defendant.
Good afternoon to both of you. I have a motion before me in reference to a plaintiff's motion to quash. You want to come up to the podium and tell me about that, Ms. Hayes? Can I ask that you speak up, too, so that these folks can hear you on the telephone?
Certainly, I will do that.
Okay.
Thank you. I am with Siegel Grove, Ruther, Duffy, and Foster, North End of Minneapolis, and I'm here representing Three Angel Broadcasting, specifically with Mr. Danny Shelton.
Your Honor?
Yes.
You're not picking up anything.
Okay, well, then I'm going to... Is the microphone on? Can you turn it up a little bit? Is there a volume control there? Not that you can see. Okay, then I'm going to just ask you to speak up and speak into that microphone. You can pull up that. There's a button on there to pull up that podium higher on the side if you want it higher.
Okay, I think this will be all right.
Okay, that should be better.
Give it a try.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Excuse me. We're actually here, Your Honor, on two related motions, a motion to quash a subpoena that was issued from the District Court District of Minnesota and a related motion to stay the enforcement of that District Court. There was a motion filed by Defendant Pickle. It was a motion to dismiss our motion to quash. We briefed that as though it were in opposition to our initial motion. That no hearing date was obtained for that motion. I don't know if that's on the court docket for today, but we have treated, again, in our briefing, that motion as a response to our initial motion to quash and motion to stay and remit.
Mr. Pickle, just drawing your attention to that procedural posture of the case, anything you wanted to say in reference to that?
I'm sure, Your Honor, except that I did file that motion to dismiss their motion on the basis of my understanding, and I also did file opposition to their motion as well.
So I guess my question is there any reason we shouldn't take care of those motions today?
I would think that would be a good idea.
Okay, that's all we're going to proceed. I agree. Okay, now with that in mind, and we're going to presume that the motion that Mr. Pickle brought was in opposition to your motion, whether it was stated as such or not, and tell me about what you're seeking from me.
Well, in the first instance, Your Honor, we are seeking a motion to stay the enforcement of the subpoena at issue and to remit the matter for consideration to the jurisdiction of the District of Massachusetts, specifically to Judge Dennis Saylor, who has jurisdiction over the case and has been referring discovery and other case administrative matters to Magistrate Timothy Hillman of that.
You mean Magistrate Judge Timothy Hillman?
Yes.
They changed the title from Magistrate to Magistrate Judge about 20 years ago, and I see that both sides were referring to me as Magistrate. Sometimes it just, I just wonder why people do that when they changed it 20 years ago.
I'm not familiar with the change, Your Honor. I'll have to check that and make sure our pleadings are correct in the future. I apologize.
Okay.
A brief introduction to the nature of the case is in order, given why we're asking this court to remit the matter to the District of Massachusetts. The case at issue is one that has become, by virtue of both defendants' pro se appearances, and by virtue of, I think, some basic misunderstandings about some of the substantive law that is behind the complaint, some of the potential defenses, a matter that has become both quite contentious as well as somewhat confusing. The general facts behind it are that Danny Lee Shelton founded the Three Angels Broadcast Network, Inc. in approximately 1985 is an Illinois non-for-profit charitable organization whose basic purpose is to run an international radio and television broadcast ministry that espouses the faith and doctrine of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Mr. Shelton has been in continuous direction of that corporation since inception. He only recently resigned as the president of that organization. He founded the ministry with his wife at the time, Linda Shelton. The couple divorced approximately 2004. Things were relatively stable. When Mr. and Mrs. Shelton divorced, Ms. Shelton was also terminated from her employment at Three Angels after the board of directors of that organization came to a belief that both that she was acting insubordinate to directives by the board, and also that she had, by some of her actions and conduct, compromised her ability to be a representative of the ministry. As a result of her termination, she did sign a termination and separation agreement whereby she agreed that she would not discuss or speak about Three Angels Broadcasting or any of its board members, officers, or directors. Again, things were pretty quiet in terms of Three Angels Broadcasting until Mr. Danny Lee Shelton remarried. It was at that point that a number of allegations began to surface on the internet related to probably the most reviled and despicable conduct imaginable, and that relates to child molestation. Allegations were made on the internet that Danny Lee Shelton's brother, Tommy Shelton, had 25-some-odd years ago engaged in child molestation, and that information was allegedly brought to the attention of Three Angels, who then refused to terminate Mr. Shelton as a result of that news. As has been discussed in all of the pleadings, that matter had been brought to the attention of Three Angels and did an investigation. It found not only that there were no current charges of molestation, those charges were, again, a quarter of a century old, but at the time the charges had been made, there was no evidence of misconduct. The police and investigators who looked into the matter determined that there was insufficient evidence to prosecute the case. No criminal complaints or civil charges were ever made by any of the alleged victims, and the matter seems to be past history. Subsequently, Tommy Shelton resigned from employment at 3ABN for both health and age reasons and has left the ministry and has not had an active part of the ministry for a couple of years now. However, when the inflammatory discussion of the child molestation allegations failed to sort of bring the ministry to its knees, the defendants took a different tack, and they began espousing...
When you say the defendants, are you alleging that the defendants then were the ones who were making these allegations concerning the child molestation against Danny Lee Shelton's brother?
They claimed to be repeating allegations, Your Honor, but they are the ones who made allegations that Three Angels Broadcasting acted inappropriately by failing to terminate Tommy Lee Shelton after the allegations resurfaced again, if you will, in 2006/2007.
That's a little bit different than saying that they made the underlying allegations. Are you making that claim?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
They did not. They espoused to be repeating allegations made by others. They also, on the internet, again, when this tack sort of failed to, I think, get the results they were looking for, they changed tactics and began a campaign of sort of gossip mongering with insinuation, innuendo, speculation, suggesting that Three Angels Broadcasting was not a fiscally responsible charitable organization, that it had misdirected and mismanaged donations to the ministry, that it had violated various tax codes by providing perks and benefits to Danny Lee and other employees without reporting those to the IRS, and various other allegations, primarily concerning very specific transactions, for example, the sale of a home and then its subsequent resale, the purchase of a used van and its subsequent resale, and again, related fairly specifically to individual incidences of supposed financial malfeasance.
So let's just take one example. Let's say the house. Tell me about that. This way, I have some background.
Well, one of the allegations, for example, and this has only come out, this was not part of the original allegations upon which the lawsuit was sued out. This was not one of the defamatory statements listed in the complaint. There have been recent allegations made by Mr. Fickle and Mr. Joy that Danny Lee Shelton purchased a home and then subsequently for about, I believe the allegation is $6,300, $6,500, it's changed depending on what resource you look at, then subsequently flipped
the house. So under $10,000 that he bought the house for.
Right, and then flipped it for over $100,000 to a different purchaser and took the money and inappropriately used it to build his own home in a different location on 3ABN land.
Was the home in question belonging to the church?
No.
To the ministry?
No, the home in question was sold to Mr. Shelton. At this point in our investigation, this is not part of the original complaint, but at this point, we understand the home was owned by a private individual who then sold it to Danny Shelton, who private individual. It was
so
not...
are all those allegations true, or I'm not quite following why that would be defamatory?
Well, again, first of all, again, that's not part of the original underlying complaint. As to whether the statement is defamatory, we're still conducting an investigation.
Oh.
I understand from my client that the allegations are not true. Beyond that, I can't testify or represent to that here. But and various additional allegations that have come out since those upon which the defamation complaint was originally filed are, again, as they keep coming out of the woodwork, we keep trying to pursue and investigate them. The specific defamatory statements upon which we sued are listed out in the complaint.
And this is the subject of the lawsuit in Massachusetts?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And then there was an answer to your complaint, and what did the answer allege?
The answer simply alleged denials of the allegations in the complaint. There were no counterclaims made, and...
Doesn't it raise some factual questions about the fiscal propriety or impropriety of the defendant or of the plaintiff in the dealings with the church and the ministry?
With the defendant's dealings with the church?
No,
or?
The plaintiff's.
Yeah, the...
So, I mean, those things are at issue.
The specific transactions are at issue.
Okay.
The, as well as the complaints for both defamation and a trademark infringement claim, because when the defendants began making these defamatory statements, they were publishing them on the internet at a website called www.save3abn.com and .org. Using 3ABN's trademark, 3ABN moniker as a means of identifying the website, when in fact people who went to the website...
I don't think you have to get into that,
okay.
that detail. So
sure.
You filed it in Massachusetts claiming defamation and some trademark issues. The answer that they filed raised at least some issues in reference to the propriety of some financial transactions that were undertaken by the plaintiff, Dan and Lee Shelton. So you haven't resolved that out there yet. It's still pending.
Yes, Your Honor. That there's
and so in reference to that proceeding out there, some discovery was undertaken, including some interrogatories and document production requests to Dan and Lee Shelton individually, and then some third-party subpoenas, which we're here today to talk about.
One of which we are here today to discuss.
Okay. Now, with that background, tell me about what you want me to do.
Well, the issue of the relevance of the financial documents at issue goes to both the nature of the underlying case as well as the manner in which those documents were sought. The first issue that I'd sort of like to dispel with, I guess, is the issue of standing, which was raised in the motion to dismiss our motion and then sort of just repeated, I guess, if you will, in the opposition motion to our
because
motion.
You're not here representing the bank.
Correct, Your Honor, I'm not. Here representing Danny Shelton.
And so what, under what provision of the rule are you proceeding as not the party to whom the subpoena was issued?
We are proceeding under the protections of Rule 26 and under Rule 45 of the Civil Rules that give, and the case law interpreting that give an individual not only who asserts a privilege related to documents and information sought from a third party, but also individuals that have a right or interest in that information to challenge a subpoena on a variety of grounds, relevance, privilege if that's the claim, and sort of challenging the disclosure of that. This is not a new challenge to the issue of the disclosure of the financial records of 3ABN and of Danny Lee Shelton. That matter came up preliminarily before the court in December of last year, where...
In Massachusetts.
That's correct, Your Honor, where the magistrate judge there was listening to a discovery conference related to a motion to compel, a motion for protective order that we plan to file, and where a request had been made to stay discovery in the case until the motion for protective order could be heard, primarily because it appeared from the nature of the interrogatories, and the request for production of documents. I apologize, no interrogatories have been served, only RPDs in this, Your Honor, but the nature of the request for production of documents was such that it was clear that the bulk of what the defendants were seeking had nothing to do with the trademark claim, had very little to do with the actual specific incidents of malfeasance that had been alleged and had been used as the basis of the defamation claim, but instead was seeking a broad, almost independent audit of 3ABN's books going back to basically the inception of the corporation in the mid-80s. the nature of, we responded to those interrogatories with objections as to the nature of the request as being overly broad and irrelevant. We also made a note to the court during that hearing that there had been subpoenas issued for that same information. The discovery hadn't been limited just to the RTDs. But we noted to the court that at least two of the four subpoenas that had been issued were procedurally improper. Specifically, this subpoena, if you will, or the first iteration of the subpoena, had been issued from the District of Massachusetts.
So, but that's water over the dam. Now we're talking about the subpoenas issued by the District of Minnesota. So let's get to that.
And we had made...
What provision under Rule 45 are you proceeding under?
Well, the motion to quash, Your Honor, is based on Rule 26, that being that discovery cannot be had by for information that is burdensome, harassing, or...
How is it burdensome, harassing, or otherwise to you? I mean, the subpoena was served in the bank, and they're not even here.
Well, what's burdensome and harassing, Your Honor, is that this is a search for Danny Lee Shelton's individual personal private banking records, which, as he's attested to in the affidavit, he has always maintained as confidential, which are private to him and which are extremely personal. Additionally, Your Honor, the motion to quash is also phrased in the alternative as a motion for protective order. And we parallel to this court, Your Honor, our request to the Massachusetts court that if these documents are deemed in fact relevant and if the documents need to be produced, that they be produced without dispersion to the public. We are in complete agreement that relevant documents that go to the defense on the defamation charges should be produced to the defendant. Our issue, Your Honor, is with the history of these defendants publishing virtually instantaneously case pleadings and documents attached to affidavits and case pleadings in this case.
I'm not quite sure if we've gotten to the point beyond my question about under Rule 45, under what provision of Rule 45 you're proceeding on. Rule 45 is a rule that talks about subpoenas, and it talks about parties to whom subpoenas have been issued and the duties in responding to subpoenas. I don't see where Rule 45 allows a different party to come in and complain about it, does it?
Your Honor, Rule 45, the rules concerning, what I have is the rules concerning subpoena and the issue of subpoena enforcement having been interpreted by a variety of courts to include that individuals may object to the subpoena for procedural improprieties within the 10 days and may also object to a subpoena and make a motion to quash the subpoena if the subpoena, for a variety of reasons, it's overly broad, it's unduly burdensome, the same issues that go to discovery.
Sure, the party to whom the subpoena is issued, but you haven't had the subpoena issued to you.
Correct, Your Honor, but we are a third party that has a right, privilege, or interest in the materials that are being sought, and if this court...
Where does it say that under Rule 45 you have the...
Your Honor, I don't have the rules in front of me, and I don't believe that Rule 45 specifically permits that. However, this court has allowed motions to quash to be made by interested and affected third parties.
Let me ask about what records they're looking at. They're looking for records of Mr. Danny Lee Shelton, correct?
Correct, his private banking records as well.
And then they're also looking for some records from a business, sole proprietorship.
Correct.
And they're also looking for some records from a corporation.
Correct. Again, a
so how does he, Danny Lee Shelton, have any standing to complain about the fact that they're looking for corporate records? Let's start there and go backwards.
Well, as is discussed and admitted by the defendants in their own briefing to this court, Danny Lee Shelton is the sole shareholder of the corporation.
So what?
Sole proprietor, and
it's still a separate legal entity, isn't it?
And he is the person, but he is the person representing the corporation in this capacity.
You haven't brought the motion on behalf of that corporation. You brought it on behalf of Sheldon.
Right. It's brought on behalf of Danny Lee Shelton to quash the subpoena which seeks records of all three parties. Yes, Your Honor. And that is because, again, Mr. Shelton has an interest in the records of those corporations and having a right or interest in the corporation.
Is he an officer of the corporation right now? Do you know?
He is the only officer of the corporation, and the sole proprietorship has been dissolved. It hasn't been in operation since the dissolution of the party's marriage.
But on the corporation side, you're not representing the corporation today?
Danny Lee, I'm here representing Danny Lee Shelton, who has acted on behalf of the corporation, yes.
Well, the corporation can only act on its own behalf, can't it? I mean, it's a separate legal entity.
it is a separate legal entity, but Mr. Shelton is the board of directors. He makes all decisions and takes all action on
it. Well, let's put it this way. If someone sued the corporation and got a judgment and then went to Mr. Shelton's personal bank account and tried to get it satisfied against the corporation, I guess the defense would be, I'm not the corporation. You can't do that, right?
His personal bank records, I would assume that would be one
so
of the
why should
defenses,
I toss
yes.
it on the other side and say from a personal standpoint he has the right to come in and represent the corporation? And you can't have it both ways, it seems to me.
Well, just...
I mean, if you're going to have the protections of a corporate body, it seems to me that there's certain protections that corporations provide. Then you also have some burdens that are associated with that, and that means that it's a separate corporate entity, and if you're in here making a motion on behalf of that corporation, tell me that. But if you're not, and if it's on behalf of Sheldon, I'm not sure how Sheldon, as an individual, can do that.
Well, again, Your Honor, for economy, judicial efficiency, use of resources, Mr. Shelton chose to act on behalf of the corporation and not retain yet another lawyer in this case to represent the corporate entity.
Maybe you could have represent him. I'm not sure, but it doesn't seem to me that Sheldon individually can. Anyway, you made a motion for a protective order in Massachusetts, and that was never acted on by the Massachusetts court.
It's pending, and there's a hearing scheduled this Friday on that motion, Your Honor.
And so is that before the magistrate judge out there?
Yes, it is. Magistrate Judge Hellman is scheduled to hear that matter. And he is the magistrate judge who's heard all matters on discovery and related matters. Again, that's one of the reasons that we're seeking to have this motion, enforcement of the subpoena matter, remitted to the magistrate judge there. He's familiar with the case. He's familiar with the long discovery battles in this matter. He oversaw the December 14th hearing that appears, at least in a chronological or time frame, to be so important to Mr. Pickle, and again, was the magistrate judge that oversaw that proceeding and is in a better position to determine that he said, she said, as to the common allegations in the briefing concerning my representation for this court and in my briefing papers.
Okay. Let's hear from Mr. Pickle. Mr. Pickle?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about your view of this.
Just as a motion, or should I give any background on the case?
I think I've got plenty of background. I understand that you probably take a different view of the facts, but I understand at least that the matter in Massachusetts is one in which you were accused of some trademark infringement and accused of apparently some defamation, and that some defenses to that were made, including allegations that some financial improprieties were undertaken by Danny Lee Sheldon in reference to the operation by Mr. Sheldon of Three Angels Broadcasting Network, Inc., and that you're seeking some discovery concerning Mr. Sheldon and some corporate financial records from a closely held corporation he owns, as well as a sole proprietorship that he operated prior to his divorce. So I understand, I think, what the background is, and I think adequately explains it for purposes of considering the motions. Do you agree?
So I think I should make one clarification, Your Honor.
Okay,
the,
go ahead.
The allegations of
I understand that. I guess the real question from my standpoint, as I understand, at least that those allegations, either in the complaint or in your answer, are at issue in Massachusetts.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so I have a question.
Okay.
And that's this. The magistrate judge in Massachusetts apparently is going to take up this whole issue of the protective order on Friday. What would be the objections, of any, this court taking this motion under advisement, and whether I take it under advisement in order to stay and in order to remit, or just take it under advisement pending that magistrate judge's decision out there before we proceed? It sounds as though you folks are before this magistrate judge out there. He's well aware of the litigation and the issues. And it sounds as though the exact dispute that's before me now is going to be placed before that magistrate judge on Friday in the actual litigation at issue. It seems to make sense to me. Can you talk me out of it, or do you agree that it would make sense for me to just wait until I hear from that magistrate judge following your appearance on Friday?
I'm not sure exactly what to say, Your Honor. Sometimes I had a real problem hearing Attorney Gaines. I just want to make sure it's clear that it was Judge Saylor rather than Magistrate Judge Hillman that was at that status conference on December 14th.
I don't know if that makes much difference, but whether it's the district court judge or the magistrate judge who's handling the case out there, some almost a mirror image of the dispute that's before me today is going to be placed before that judge in Massachusetts on Friday.
I have a feeling, Your Honor, that the topic of the protective order is so broad, I'm not sure how much time we're going to spend Friday talking about
It's possible that we will spend some time talking about bank statements. I did want to add also that since we are talking about bank statements, not copies of checks, not copies of deposits, but the instance of the interview with just bank statements. I have a court case.
This was from the Northern District of Illinois, April 2nd, 2004, Memorandum of Opinion and Order in Labor Pension Fund versus Quality General Construction. And the judge or magistrate in this opinion noted that nothing in the bank documents at issue identifies clearly personal matters, such as perhaps checks to health care or psychiatric care providers. So it's hard to determine what is primary confidential about mere bank statements. Where the checks were coming from or where the checks were going to.
But getting back to my question in reference to waiting to see what happens on Friday before that judge in Massachusetts, and frankly, from a practical standpoint, today's Tuesday, in all likelihood, that's exactly what's going to have to happen given my schedule. I'm just wondering whether or not that is not a wise course to take. Is that Mr. Joy?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Joy, I don't have any submissions by you at all, I don't believe, did I?
No, sir, you didn't.
Is the subpoena, as I understand it, and I could take a look at it, I have a copy of it, wasn't that served by Mr. Pickle?
Yes, it was.
Okay, I'm going to listen to him, but I'm not quite sure if you have a dog in this fight. Maybe you can explain to me why you would, but unless you served the subpoena yourself, I'm not sure if you do.
Okay, well, in fact, obviously, if you could witness for both of the two, subpoenas.
It might be the same thing could be said about my hearing arguments from both of you, too.
I'm sorry, what was that, sir?
Then you might be able to say the same thing about my allowing you both to argue.
Well,
let's hear from Mr. Pickle. I want to hear from Mr. Pickle. He's the person that served the subpoena. Mr. Pickle, anything else you wanted to say to me?
I just would like to ask the court to deny this.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. By the way, I appreciate both sides' thorough briefing of this. From a pro se standpoint, Mr. Pickle, I think you did an admirable job supplying me with your view of it and what you thought the law was, and I appreciate that. And obviously, from the plaintiff's standpoint, Ms. Hayes, that certainly is true as well, and I appreciate that. And you've personally been here kind of suffering from my rather pointed questions, and she's been holding up very well on that. And Mr. Pickle and Mr. Joy, while you're not here, you've been very patient with the court, and I appreciate that on your gentleman's part as well. My thought is I'm going to take these matters under advisement, and what I'm going to do is direct Ms. Hayes, you're the moving party and you're here, so I'm going to direct you to supply me with the decision of the judge in Massachusetts who will be hearing the matter on Friday, within 5 days of getting that court order. If either the plaintiff or the defendants order a transcript of that proceedings before that judge, I would like to receive a copy of the transcript as well. And to the extent that both both parties recognize that this is an outstanding dispute that's been placed on my desk, but that I was interested in hearing the view of the magistrate or district judge in Massachusetts who will be hearing the case on Friday. I'm presuming that one or both of you will be alerting the judge to the fact that I expressed some interest in hearing the judge's viewpoint concerning this discovery. Okay? And that's how we're going to proceed. Anything else the plaintiff wants to tell me before we recess?
No, Your Honor. I'll provide a written update and then a copy of the order as soon as it comes in.
Okay. Mr. Pickle, do you have anything further? Mr. Joy, I didn't want to cut you off too far. I don't want to hear too many arguments on the, or any arguments really on the motion, because I don't think you have standing to make an argument, but anything else you wanted to add apart from that?
Well, let me put it this way. I guess what I'll do is place on the record a notice that I do believe I have standing. I have said it, and in fact, we were given, in our 26-F conference, we were given six numbers of subpoenas, et cetera, that could be issued, and for that reason, from a conservatory standpoint, it would make sense to have only one party issuing on the other side.
Okay, very good. And you have made that record, and I appreciate everyone's patience. I'll take the matter under advisement. Thanks, everyone. I'm going to hang up now, folks.
Thank you,
Your Honor. Yep, bye now.